One of the tenets of Better Buying Power 2.0, the version leaders are rolling out right now, is a carryover from the original version, reducing non-productive processes and bureaucracy in the acquisition process. Dr. Ashton Carter, the Deputy Secretary of Defense, says some of those non-value-added processes are in the area of contract oversight.
I share industry's concerns about an excessive oversight culture. I've long been concerned that the number of watchers was approaching the number of doers in the department. You have the doers in front of you here. And we may, in fact, be reaching that threshold, especially with respect to things like audits. And we're trying to work internally and work with industry to address these issues.
Carter, who used to serve as DOD's Undersecretary for Acquisition Logistics and Technology, spoke at the Center for Strategic and International Studies alongside Frank Kendall, the man who now holds that job. Kendall says it's clear to him that overzealous oversight of acquisition programs isn't just a burden on the defense industry, it's a problem for DOD's own managers, too.
A lot of this is about internal processes. I had a conversation with one of our program executive officers once who said that when he had a multi-year program, he was the most effective program manager he could possibly be compared to any other time in his career, because all he had to do was work on his program and work with his suppliers to get more for the money for the taxpayers and for his warfighters. And I thought about that, and I took that to heart. The burden that we put on our people to come do things for oversight reasons, while it may not cost that much and it may not delay programs that much, it takes managers away from something else that they really should be doing. So that's an important thing. We're going to start tracking this. We're going to start tracking how much time our people spend giving briefings to the staff and getting coordinations and going around doing the things that they need to do just to work their way through the process, and then go attack the things that we can push back on. This will be a collaboration between the Secretary of Defense's office people and the service people, because a lot of this bureaucracy exists in the military departments as much as it does in OSD.
That effort to gather data on how much time managers spend being overseen rather than working on their programs is consonant with much of the rest of Better Buying Power. As the department implements the latest round of acquisition improvement, Kendall says he's in the midst of a much more comprehensive effort to measure what's working and what's not across the massive defense acquisition enterprise.
I have a sign outside my door that says, "In God we trust, all of this must bring data," so that we can start to actually look in the mirror and see how we're doing. I used to ask the question that, as I talked to different groups of acquisition people, can anybody in the audience tell me how well we're doing today compared to how well we were doing 5 or 10 or 15 years ago? And nobody ever knew the answer. I think it's time we started measuring. It's not if you don't know where you are, it's kind of hard to tell how to get to where you want to go.
Kendall says starting soon, he plans to distribute an annual study that attempts to tell the department where it is on acquisition matters, what approaches are failing, and which ones are working well. He says the study is asking a number of questions.
A good example is fixed price contracting. Does fixed price contracting get you better results or not? Well, the answer is it depends. It depends on what phase of development you're in and what kind of work you're doing. Do some kinds of products seem to inherently have poorer performance, poorer results? The answer is yes. C3I programs don't do very well, for example, compared to others. We'll look at industry. We'll look at how some firms consistently better at delivering products as they promise they will than others. Do some of the services do better? Do some of the buying commands do better than others? And this isn't about pointing fingers at people or blaming people. It's about understanding what works so that others can emulate that and do it. So my long-awaited report, I've got a stack of data about that thick that I'm trying to get into a format that I like and get that out to everybody to look at and think about, because it's going to be something that's going to be very thought-provoking. It doesn't tell you the answers. It tells you much more than you know right now about what's really happening.
One data point the department already has is giving it some cause for optimism. It delivered its latest legally mandated report on cost growth in acquisition programs to Congress, known as the Selected Acquisition Report, this week. One of that report's functions is to notify Congress of any programs that have dramatically exceeded their previously projected costs. They're known as Nunn-McCurdy breaches. Kendall says for the first time in his memory, there were no breaches at all in the latest update. One of the experiments Kendall wants to try in the effort to drive unneeded bureaucracy out of acquisition programs would be modeled after Lockheed's Skunk Works program for advanced weapon system development that began in the middle of the last century. He envisions two teams of highly competent project staff, one from government and one from industry, both able to work relatively autonomously.
And that team is empowered. And there's a fair amount of trust involved in the organization that does that. That's a little different than the way we do business today, right? Now, if we're going to do that, and I've asked each of the services to propose a program that they would like to take that kind of approach with. And what I would do is relieve them of many of the formal documentation requirements with all the staffing that goes with that we do today, and instead use intense on-site reviews by first by the staff and then by myself and the SAEs, service acquisition executives, for the milestone decision. So we simplify that process enormously, and we focus on the substance of what's being done. And we have people doing it who really do understand it. What I need as a criteria to have this kind of a program, first of all, is an assurance that both sides, the government and industry, will have a truly professional team, that the requirements are well-defined, and that those teams will work together. So I'm going to be looking at resumes of people from both sides. I want people who really understand the work. Where you get trust in an arrangement like this is from that understanding, because both sides really know what's the right thing to do. They know what needs to be done to get the product developed, tested, and fielded. So there's no, you know, nobody's worried about the other guy doing something that doesn't need to be done or no fooling around. So I think this is an experiment worth trying.
But Carter and Kendall say even as they try new ideas to buy products and services more efficiently, they're working at cross purposes with sequestration, which they say demands that the department take actions that are inherently inefficient. Carter says DOD is trying to blunt that impact through its current strategic choices and management review, which will plan for a variety of budget scenarios.
I hope that one of the principal benefits of the review for our acquisition programs and correspondingly for industry will be to bound the uncertainty that we currently face. Uncertainty is anathema to good management for us and also for our partners in industry. It discourages investment. It causes the hoarding of capital, prevents the natural rationalization of our industrial base, and it harms growth.
Kendall says it also makes it impossible for the department to make upfront investments to save long-term money or to do any kind of long-term planning.
One of the reasons the uncertainty is such a problem for us is we don't know what force structure to design the department around. We don't know what ultimate level of budget we expect to be at. Everything else that we do flows from force structure. You know, you have to have, once you have a force structure, then you need a certain level of money to keep it ready, to keep the people trained, to keep the equipment ready to be operated. Then you need a certain level of money to modernize that force structure and to recapitalize it as it wears out. So it all flows from the force structure. And when the department gets out of balance, when we have too much force structure for the other accounts to support, bad things start to happen. One of the bad things is readiness crisis. I lived the readiness crisis of the 70s in Germany. I was in a unit that had no spare parts. And we were essentially non-operational for parts all the time. You can have a readiness crisis because of training, too. You can stop training. You know, we're doing too much of that right now. You can have a readiness crisis because you didn't invest in technology, or you can have a hollow force because you didn't invest in technology that you needed to stay technologically superior. So you have to have a balance. But the balance flows from an understanding of what your force structure is.
Kendall says under sequestration, the things most likely to suffer in 2014 are modernization and research and development programs, since DOD won't be able to reduce force structure quickly enough to comply with a second year of sequestration. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.